Simplifying Analytics, your one-stop podcast for data science, big data, descriptive, predictive, and cognitive analytics. Welcome.
Hola a todos, yo soy Miguel Molina Cuscuyuela, Managing Partner de Analyticus, y el día de hoy tendremos un invitado especial, y este podcast en particular será especial. El primer podcast per se que haremos en inglés. Nuestro invitado es Q. Ethan McCallum. Q es uno de los expertos con más renombre en los Estados Unidos dentro del área de analíticas avanzadas y ciencia de datos. Q frecuentemente escribe en O'Reilly, tiene libros de entrenamiento, tiene varios libros sobre cómo las instituciones y las organizaciones pueden crear su propia práctica de ciencia de datos. Adicionalmente, de que ha participado como conferencista en eventos como el ITA, Internet of Things Summit, en Strata, plus Hadoop World en el 2013, en Data Gotham, en Big Data Camp, etcétera, etcétera, etcétera. Es una personalidad y fue un podcast muy, muy divertido. Estoy seguro que tendremos a Q en próximas ocasiones nuevamente como un invitado de nuestro podcast. Sin más preámbulo, espero que lo disfruten. Por favor, no dejen de dejarnos saber si tienen algún tema, algún caso de uso, alguna industria en la que quisieran que enfocáramos nuestros siguientes capítulos. Muchas gracias. Comenzamos. Hey Q, how are you? Good afternoon. How's everything?
So far, so good, man. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you. And thank you for being in our podcast today.
Yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm hoping this will be exciting for all of you and your listeners and everyone else. So
I'm certain it will be. And by the way, do you know that this is the first podcast that we're going to do fully in English?
Yeah, as I recall, we're going to do this in English. And I think you're going to have subtitles in French and Spanish when we're done. Right? Subtitles?
We wish.
No worries, but please dig in. What can I do for you, my friend?
Perfect. So Q, before we start, and just in the best interest of our audience, would it be possible for you to share a little bit more about your background, your experience on advanced analytics? What have you been doing over the last years, and what are you doing today?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to keep this concise. So I guess the very short version is I came to the data space. I mean, I know people use different terms for it, whether it's data science, advanced analytics, big data. Well, I'm sure we'll pick on a term someday. But I came to that space after several years of working in IT infrastructure and software development. And I actually started my career working in financial companies. And I bring that up because that had a very strong influence on how I see the impact of technology and data analysis on a business. And we can talk about that more in just a moment. But I guess to bring us to the present day, you know, I've been focusing on the world of data for several years now. And I work as a consultant. And these days, my consulting work focuses on really helping companies to get started with data. In other words, helping them make smart decisions around how to develop use cases and roadmaps, how to hire people, when to hire people, what tools to use, and all of that. So that's pretty much me and my work in a nutshell.
And you do this all over the U.S., right? Or you're based out of Chicago, but I don't know if probably you keep traveling all over, correct?
Yeah, technically I split my time between Chicago and New York, but I mean, services are available worldwide. My rule is if I can hop on a plane and I speak the language, I'm sure I can.
And I should add that Q is fluent in French. He speaks also some
Merci.
Spanish, avec plaisir.
Merci.
So we can do this in several languages. So Q, going into the main topic for today. So as you know, things are changing at an enormous speed in the field that we're working on, advanced analytics, and as you mentioned, also big data and data science. So we haven't been able to pick a term yet, but in this particular field, things are changing at an enormous speed. What do you think is the main challenge today for companies that want to start doing something, that want to jump into this field?
I'm glad you phrased it that way. Frankly, I think that the toughest part about getting started is the actual getting started. And by that, I mean, the tough part is really moving from the general to the specific, right? Going from someone who might say, I keep reading about how these other firms are using data to advance their business, to how do I use data to advance my business, right? If we zoom in a bit, that can mean a couple of different things. One is just understanding what is realistic and possible with data science. You know, sometimes people have different views of what that could mean. I think just having a bit of a reality check can go a long way. Also, you know, using that knowledge of what's realistic and possible to develop specific and practical business use cases. You know, because to the point you made just a second ago, some people are very eager to dive in. And I think to dive in is probably not the best idea in the long term for your business. You know, it helps to really think things through and just figure out the specifics of what this is really going to do for your business and how it can help. And the last step for that then would be taking those use cases that you've developed and shaping them into a roadmap so you can make your good decisions around whom to hire and what tools to use and all that. I guess sort of wrap this up then, you know, I can't say this enough. We underscore all of those with the notion of discipline, right? I realize that data science, it's supposed to be the hot thing happening today and lots of people are very excited. But you don't want the excitement to steer you clear of a business purpose, which means you need the discipline to stick to the roadmap and not give in to artificial pressures, right? You need the discipline to establish a solid data infrastructure and establish policies around data collection and data quality, because if you don't have that, then your data scientists won't really have much to do, right? And also, quite frankly, it helps to have the discipline to tackle some of the less exciting problems, if you will. You know, some of the things that people might claim are a bit closer to traditional business intelligence or reporting, but those are a great way to test the waters. They're a great way to test that infrastructure you've built up. And it's a great way to just help your firm develop that appetite for the more advanced analytics by starting with the more simple things. It's very much like that whole crawl before you walk, before you run kind of concept.
That's an excellent way to put it. And Q, going a little deeper into that, how do you fight these artificial pressures, as you just called them? Because what I notice is that, they want to start, and it's really hard sometimes to put everyone on the same page on where to start. There are too many priorities for companies. They want to tackle everything at the same time. And there's pressure from finance, there's pressure from marketing, there's pressure from sales. So usually when you start a new engagement, how do you help these companies, number one, make these use cases tangible, and number two, select where to start within that range of use cases?
Yeah, there are a couple of things that can really help. One is to actually have a roadmap. Right. And I know that sounds very cliche, and it's very easy for companies to simply say, oh, well, we know exactly what we're going to do. We don't have to write it down. We don't have to really spec things out. You know, you have something tangible that everyone can review, and you can see, okay, this is actually realistic, or this just can't happen given the current resources we have, or maybe even, oh, I don't think we even want to bother with that this year because of, I don't know, some other project ABC that's coming down the pipe and we can postpone this. So that helps. And something else that really helps is to really have what some people call the office champion, right? Someone who can step in and just help people stay the course even when they want to start, even though they want to get a bit distracted, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Q, I'm going a little bit more technical. Do you see any trends on organizations approaching these use cases on the cloud rather on-premise, or how do you see the architecture for these data science problems that you're trying to solve and that data scientists are trying to solve?
Sure. I would say I'm seeing a lot of cloud these days, but I think it also helps, especially for your audience, for me to qualify that. I'm guessing a big part of why I'm seeing so much cloud is because I've been working with some smaller firms as of late. You know, years ago, when I was working with much larger firms, especially financial institutions, they were very heavy on the on-premise hardware for various reasons. But the smaller firms, they're very attracted to that cloud infrastructure. And it's tough to deny why. I mean, when you think about the traditional IT purchasing cycle, right? You get some idea of what you'd like to achieve. You try your best to spec out what you're going to need. You're essentially trying to predict the future, all right? You then go to a hardware vendor, give them lots of money, hope that you're a large enough client that they respond in a timely fashion, get you the hardware you need, get it installed, you know, all of that. And then in the end, you hope that you've purchased the right amount of hardware, right? Because if you've underbought, you're in lots of trouble because you have to add more resources, you have to go through the sales cycle again. Or if you've overbought, that means you have lots of hardware sitting idle. When you compare that to the cloud, it's very simple. You just pick your provider. I think there aren't that many cloud providers these days, frankly. Pick your provider, hand over usually a credit card number, sign up for an account, and you can get going very quickly. You don't have to invest all this money up front, and you're investing, I guess, a different way in the people that are going to support that environment as well. Although, I guess to that last point, I should also say, you know, just to dispel one rumor, a lot of people, when they talk about using the cloud or their infrastructure, their view is, oh, well, we don't have hardware on-premise, therefore we don't need operations. And that's very far from the truth. You don't have that hardware on-premise. You don't have to have people in a server room physically installing disks or racking hardware. But if you're going to succeed with a cloud environment, you still need smart, talented people. They're just going to need a very different skill set, that's all.
Very good answer. And I concur with you 100%. Q, I have another question for you. Historically, as we've been in this space of analytics for many years, as you know, traditional business intelligence at some point was very much under the wing of IT. And what I'm seeing is a trend on analytics moving away from IT and more on reporting directly into the business and not as part of or an extension of the IT department. What is the role that business should play? What is the role that IT should play on any advanced analytics or data science project?
To the point you just made about where our business intelligence used to sit versus where we're seeing data science sit right now. You know, the fun part of this is, on the one hand, this notion of analytics has been around for several years now. On the other hand, compared to other disciplines, we are still in a very young space. We're still in our Wild West days figuring things out, which means there is no one right answer as to where the data team should sit. A lot of that is really driven by business use cases. Sometimes it does stick with the finance department because the finance department was the first one to bring that sort of advanced analytics capability in-house to meet their needs. Maybe over time it grows and it becomes part of its own, or it becomes its own department, I should say, and it starts to feed other business units. It really varies. One thing I can say, though, is if you have an existing business division, if you will, separate, you really need to know where it's going to fit in the bigger picture. Right? On the one end, in theory, some business unit is going to be the ultimate customer, and therefore, as I was mentioning before, what's possible and what's realistic, how they're actually going to improve the business through this analysis of data as they develop the use cases. On the other hand, the analytics department will, to a certain extent, be a customer of IT, right? Because they're going to be writing these systems that IT builds out. They might end up even creating functionality within IT, for example, people to maintain and administer new data-related tools. Therefore, it's very helpful for the person who's going to build and or run that data department to sit down with the folks in IT and help them understand what IT can provide to the analytics department, and also what the analytics department can do for IT, and otherwise just making sure everyone's on the same page to reduce friction.
Got you. Perfect. Q, we're living at a time where, as we've heard before, this is the fourth industrial revolution. It's a perfect storm. We have the cloud, we have mobile, we have cheaper storage, cheaper processing. How do you see the future? What's coming?
Well, you know, if I could see what was coming, I'd be a very, very wealthy man. I'd just place my bets and say, no, I'm only kidding. No, this is a good question to ask, in part just because I spend a lot of time thinking about it, which may mean it's also a bad question to ask, because I'm sure I could ramble on this for hours. So I'll try to keep it brief. I think overall, what we're going to see at least what I hope and expect will happen, is that we're going to see this field mature. And I mentioned a couple of minutes ago that we're really sitting in the Wild West days, in part because it's still very new, right? It's not as though the business of collecting and analyzing data is new. But what's new over the past few years is that businesses that were not traditionally in this field, they've leapt in. Very digital these days. It's very inexpensive due to falling hardware costs for companies to just store tons of data. And therefore, we've gotten out of the more traditional realms of Wall Street and Madison Avenue as far as collecting and analyzing data. I bring that up because what I see happening is right now, there's a lot of enthusiasm in the data space. And I'm sure you've seen this as well, right? And you have companies that are just taking any opportunity to apply data science or advanced analytics or big data to a situation. And I think it's very easy to be cynical and laugh at these firms, but I think it's great. I mean, because what they're collectively doing is they're figuring out where all this fits and where it doesn't. So what this means is over time, we'll have a better idea of what sort of problems these tools can solve. And therefore, we'll have fewer questions where it works, and we'll be able to focus our efforts on more of those places that it does, right? So that's sort of the first phase. Building on that point, I think in the coming years, we're going to see more firms redoing their data efforts. Let's face it, some of these companies, they've been around for a few years now, and it's time for a refresh. And in some cases, that's fine. They laid a solid foundation, and it's just time to update it and work out some kinks from the first go-around. Other firms, they over or underdid it, and I think they're going to be in a position to replace big parts of their work or even scrap their data efforts and start fresh. Which, on the one hand, I think that's going to be good for the business. On the other hand, I'm concerned that the firms that overinvested in data science will shift and perhaps even shrink their data departments, which I think will have an impact on the data science job market. Third, and I promise only 4 points, but I did warn you I'd ramble on this for a while. I think third, we're also going to see more of what I call data science applications. I don't really have a good term for this, but it's this idea of taking some portion of data science functionality and wrapping it up in a turnkey solution. And this isn't quite the future now. We're already seeing this. I think we're just going to see a lot more of this in the future. For example, you know, there are some companies I've encountered already. There's one called Bright. They do subscription analytics for SaaS companies. There's another one called SwiftIQ. These companies, they already exist. And for companies who are in the subscription SaaS space or for those who are in the retail and point of sale space, sure, they could hire data scientists and they might still, but there is some portion of data science functionality that's trapped within these applications, which means these companies are going to have less of or at least a different appetite for data science than others. And last but not least, I think as far as my big expectations for the future, this one's a bit more far afield, but I think we're going to see more standards and more regulation in the data field, especially around privacy and liability. For privacy, that's going to mean stronger rules around what firms can do with the data they collect from individuals. And for liability, you know, we're going to get very deep in the discussion of what happens, let's say, when an automated system makes a decision that has a negative impact on some other party. I mean, right now, when I say that, I suspect a lot of your listeners will immediately think of self-driving cars. And yes, that's where we're going to see a lot of thoughts in that arena. But I think self-driving cars will just be the first step in people thinking more about what happens when you have automated systems making decisions. You know, who is liable if something goes wrong? So I expect we're going to see more regulation around that. I mean, sad to say, probably more litigation around that. But I think you're also going to see that with any field that grows and matures. So again, overall, I expect the field will mature. I think we're going to see lots of growing pains along the way, but you know, once that smooths out, it will all be worth it.
Well, that's an optimistic view. No, but very good answer, very comprehensive. Going back to some of the points that you just mentioned, the third point where some companies are already providing these data science solutions, and you actually mentioned some that are very much focused on analytic solutions for software as a service subscriptions. What I see also happen is that these traditional software as a service products, let's say Salesforce or Marketo or QuickBooks, or I think they're going to start also providing their own advanced analytic solutions as part of their subscription. I think it's going to be an interesting upsell for them. It's a natural upsell. I just wanted to add that to the third point that you mentioned. Q, before we leave, is there any blog, any book, any publication that you would suggest to our audience for those that are already in the space, for those that are trying to get into the advanced analytics space, any particular source of content that you follow? I don't know, something within this idea.
Yeah, sure. I would say, and you might say I'm cheating on this answer, but I'll let you decide. I wouldn't so much recommend specific content or specific books. Instead, especially if you are a beginner data scientist or you're just getting your feet wet in this field, as a practitioner, I mean, one of the best things you can do is start to ask yourself some questions, and you pick a data set and you start to explore it. And as you do that, you'll start to simulate what it's like to do this sort of work in the enterprise setting, right? You'll understand what it means to have to spend lots of time acquiring and storing and cleaning data. You'll get some experience picking the right tools to answer the questions you want. I think there's no better way to get started than to simply pick up and get started in that regard. For people who are in the more advanced practitioner mindset, right, if they've been doing this for a few years, I wouldn't much recommend books for them either. I would say they probably have enough books on their shelves already. They probably plow through them on a regular basis, picking up on the latest tools and algorithms, and I think that's great. I think something that might be interesting for them would be to pick a topic and just explore it, learn about it, read up on it, talk to practitioners in that field, and then figure out how you can apply your data science skills to that field. I mean, it seems that every time we turn around, we think that data science and technology have covered every possible inch of the solution space, and turn around and find out there's something else that hadn't been thought of before. Spaces that hasn't really been touched by advanced analytics, and figure out how you can apply your skill sets there by just talking to people in that field and learning more about it.
Oh, thank you, Q. Before I thank you for joining us in this podcast and participating with us. Q, if anyone would like to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to connect with you, to follow you?
Yeah, sure. I'm a big fan of meeting people. I love to talk about data and all things non-data. I think the easiest way to reach me is through my website. That's it's qethanm.cc. And from there, you'll have links to my Twitter handle, my minimal tweeting, as people will see, as well as any sort of ramblings I've decided to publish to the blog space. QEthanM.cc, it's the easiest way to find me.
Perfect. And we're actually going to include that in the notes of the podcast, so everyone will be able to link on it. Q, I appreciate your time. I think we've learned a lot over the last 20 minutes or so. Certainly, you're one of the most seasoned experts that I've discussed these different pros and cons and challenges and changes that are happening in the advanced analytics space. Again, I appreciate your time, and I would like to have you again at some point as a guest speaker on our podcast. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having invited me. A huge thanks to your audience for listening. So I guess I would say merci de m'avoir invité et bonne journée.
Merci à vous et bonne journée également. Au revoir.
D'accord. Ciao.
À la prochaine. Ciao, ciao. De nuevo, muchas gracias a todos. Recuerden Analyticus, donde diseñamos, implementamos soluciones en ciencia de datos, principalmente para los verticales de educación, retail, CPG y media. Nos pueden encontrar en analyticus.com, en Twitter, analyticus1, en Facebook y en LinkedIn, analyticus con K y con Y. De nuevo, muchas gracias. Mándenos sus preguntas. Soy Miguel Molina. Hasta la próxima.
Simplifying Analytics, your one-stop podcast for data science, big data, descriptive, predictive, and cognitive analytics.